Shabbat Shalom. Let me open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to address the congregation. I ask that you help me to be clear in my thought and speech. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Amen. Today's text will be from Exodus chapter 17, starting at verse 8. But before I begin, I would like to tell you quite freely that I am not an extemporaneous speaker. Some people just jot down a few notes and they can speak for an hour. If I tried to do that, I would really lose half of what I was going to say. So please forgive me if I have to read. Secondly, I'm used to giving short messages from the Bima, like a two-minute drosh. Well, when you're writing a message like this, it's a horse of a different color. So I will try not to speak any heresy. I will try not to get off the track, and I will try to not wander in the desert. But when Hashem led Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt, they did a lot of wandering in the desert. With a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, they were led to Pi Hachirot. And where is that? Well, the Red Sea was in front of them, and the Egyptian army was behind them. They complained to Moshe because they thought they were going to die in the desert. Well, they didn't die. Instead, Hashem made a way for them to survive by passing through the Yam Suf on dry land, and thus escaping the Egyptian army. Then they complained to Moshe that they would die from hunger in the desert. They wanted to go back to Egypt, where they could eat their cucumbers and garlic. Well, they didn't die. Instead, Hashem gave them manna and quail. Then they all went to Rephidim, where there was no water. So they complained to Moshe because they thought they were going to die from thirst in the desert. Well, they didn't die. Instead, Hashem told Moshe to open a Hard Rock Cafe and serve daiquiris and buffalo wings. No, no, that's not it. He told them to strike the rock with his staff so water could pour out. And so it goes for 40 years and many more chapters. It was at Rephidim that Amalek decided to attack the Israelites. 2 weeks ago in my drash, that little two-minute drash, I mentioned that it was Shabbat Zikaron, the Sabbath of Remembrance. And what are we to remember? We are commanded by Hashem to remember what Amalek did to us. He attacked the weary and the elderly stragglers. Now, according to the Bible Anchor, the Anchor Bible Dictionary, the attack was entirely unprovoked, no provocation whatsoever. Nevertheless, the Israelites had to fight back. So, this leads us to today's message, Helping Hands in the Wilderness. If you have your Bible with you, and you can follow along, chapter 17 of Exodus, starting at verse 8, and I will be reading from the Stern Complete Jewish Bible. Then Amalek fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moshe said to Yehoshua, "Choose men for us, go out, and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with God's staff in my hand." Yehoshua did as Moshe had told him and fought with Amalek. Then Moshe, Aharon, and Hur went to the top of the hill. When Moshe raised his hand, Israel prevailed. But when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. However, Moshe's hands grew heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aharon and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, so that his hands stayed steady until sunset. Thus Yehoshua defeated Amalek, putting their people to the sword. When I read this passage, I wondered why Hashem would tell Moshe to go to the top of the hill and raise his hands. There is no mention of this tactic during any other battle recorded in the Bible that I know of. But by trusting and being obedient to Hashem, Moshe did as directed. I thought that holding my hands up would not be too difficult a task. We do it during the musical portion of our worship all the time, and it feels great. So I decided I would do a little experiment. So I went to my kitchen, turned the microwave timer to 5 minutes, took a broom as my staff, and held it above my hands. Well, after 1 minute, you can feel a little discomfort in your biceps and triceps. After 2 minutes, a little bit more discomfort. After 3 minutes, your arms and shoulders begin to ache a little. At the end of 4 minutes, you start thinking, are we there yet? At the end of 5 minutes, you are really, really relieved to be able to lower your hands. Go ahead, try it. I dare you. Now, when Moshe was holding up his hands, he was not waving them around like a beauty queen on the 4th of July parade, and he wasn't waving his arms back and forth as you would during a Taylor Swift concert. He was holding the staff, which may have weighed as much as 5 pounds. If you think that only 5 pounds do not make a difference, you are wrong. So it is no wonder that Moshe needed a helping hand. Aharon and Hur did a mitzvah by helping Moshe. They were lending a helping hand. Near the end of our weekly Torah service, someone has the honor of lifting the scroll for everyone to see. Sometimes this can be a struggle, especially when we are at the beginning of the scroll and it is very heavy on the left, or when we are near the end and it is very heavy on the right. It's good to have someone nearby to lend a helping hand, if necessary. Now also, when I read this passage, I wondered why Hashem did not just give Moshe supernatural strength to be able to hold his hands and staff up high. He gave Samson enough strength to pull down the Philistine temple of their god Dagon. And he gave David the strength to defeat thousands of men on the battlefield. We can see in this passage, however, that the victory over Amalek was really a team effort. It was good that Joshua had the skill as a military leader and that he had a competently trained army. It was really good that Moshe and Aharon and Hur were working together, they to assist him in the difficult task of holding his hands in the air hour after hour. 5 minutes is bad enough, but try doing it for hours. But the credit for the victory really goes to the power of Hashem. God is the Lord of hosts, and he could have easily defeated Amalek's army in any number of ways. He could have sent angels to annihilate the enemy, or he could have sent scorpions to sting them. He could have sent a great hailstorm to pummel them, but he didn't. Instead, he chose to use human instruments to accomplish his purposes. Joshua and his army would trust Hashem and fight. They were God's hands and feet doing the physical work. Moshe would do what he had to do and trust Hashem and his associates to intercede. And this was the spiritual work. They would all do what they had to do, and God would do the rest. In this way, God's people would grow in faith and Hashem would be glorified. Joshua could not have succeeded without Moshe, and Moshe could not have prevailed without the support of Aharon and Hur. The bottom line is that nobody could have succeeded without Hashem. Now, some of us who are a bit older can remember the song "With a Little Help from My Friends" by the Beatles. Sometimes all you need is just a little help from your friends to get by. Being a married man as I am, I always need a little help from my heavenly friend, Hashem. That is called the prompting of the Ruach HaKodesh. And I also need a little help from my friend and wife, Judy, sometimes known as Sugar Lips. Some people might call this nagging, but this is not a bad thing. As I grow older, a little reminder here and there is not only helpful, but at times necessary. I have found that the older I get, the more I need helping hands. Whether it is Judy telling me where the waffle iron is when I can't remember, or when I need a scripture address. There are times when you just need someone to hold the ladder so you can get the cat out of the tree. It doesn't have to be a big deal, just a helping hand. There is always the inevitable movement of life that we notice more and more as we grow older. When we are very young, we need our parents to look after us and keep us safe. When we go to elementary school, we need our teachers to help us through the ABCs and 1-2-3s. When we become teenagers, we don't need anybody because we know everything and have all of the answers, except when it comes to quadratic equations. If we go to college, we need our professors to unlock the mysteries of advanced mathematics or the humanities. And if we get married, we need a lot of help from God and our parents and our spouse. Even if we remain single, we need God's help and people help as well. While preparing this message, I stumbled across a poem by Catherine Smith entitled Posers that expresses today's society as we know it. Here is a short excerpt. As I sit and ponder about life and its journey, people of this world truly amaze me. They pose to be one way. Within a twinkling of an eye, you see them another way. There are some folks who will give you their last dime. There are some folks who can care less if you die. People will walk right by, never to offer a smile, never to offer a helping hand, never to offer a thank you, but make claims that they serve you. It amazes me. I think that's really the way it is. Any way you look at it, sooner or later, we will all need a helping hand of one kind or another. No matter what the source, whether it is the Ruach, Yeshua, or the neighbor across the way, we can always use a helping hand. But more than that, we never outgrow our need for a strong and powerful God who will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always there to lift us up. Once we realize that we cannot do everything on our own, we must be humble enough to ask for help. Help comes in many forms according to our need. When I have a particularly irksome question that requires great wisdom, I might turn to Rabbi Michael for help. But I cannot tell a lie. I doubt that I would ask him to help me chop down a cherry tree. If I needed help moving a refrigerator, I might ask one or two strong young teenage boys to lend a helping hand. No matter what the need or task, young and old should consider working together to get the job done. I am very pleased that some of our young adults are stepping up to the plate to take on some of the responsibilities of the sisterhood and on the worship team. As a gabbai responsible for finding people to read from the Torah every week, I certainly want to include our teens and young adults. And by the way, if anyone is interested in reading from Torah, come see me later. We'll talk about it. In a conversation not too long ago, someone pointed out that none of the elders or shamashim of Ohev Yisrael are under the age of 50. I know that it is much easier to let someone else do the job of leading, and experience is definitely a valuable commodity. But a congregation is a community, and everyone should participate in some way, regardless of their age. Do a mitzvah by participating. Lend a helping hand. Everyone is valuable, and everyone can contribute. Most of us need help for physical tasks, but there is a source of help for a different kind of need, a spiritual need. We can always call on the Ruach when we have this need. There are many men of God who have written volumes about the power of Hashem and our need for a relationship with Him. If we want a relationship with Him, we must learn to exercise faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. According to Smith Wigglesworth, a great spiritual leader of the early 1900s, faith is a reality. Through faith, the Eternal brings forth life in our hearts by the operation of the Ruach HaKodesh, and we realize that we are living in a divine order where God is manifesting His power and living within us. Throughout the Tanakh, that's the Old Testament, Hashem was always showing up to come to the aid of those who had faith. Just look at the faith chapter in Hebrews. He may have sent an angel or a prophet, a strong man or a strong east wind. No matter the manifestation of his power, he was there with an outstretched arm and a helping hand. As David says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Well, you might say, that was the Old Testament Bible times. That doesn't apply for today. That's the wrong answer. Even Yeshua needed help when he was on his way to Golgotha, according to Matthew 27:32, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Shimon by name, him they compelled to bear Yeshua's cross. In Mark chapter 16, Yeshua asked for help when he gave his disciples the Great Commission. He needed help in spreading the good news. So in verse 15, he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. In verse 20, we read, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. That sounds like Hashem was lending a helping hand to the disciples when they were doing their job. Still, that was 2,000 years ago. How about today? All of us needs God's helping hand in life's wilderness. Judy and I recently watched a movie, Miracles from Heaven. It is an amazing story that shows the helping hand through the healing power of God, even for someone who had lost their faith. There were doctors who tried to help the patient, but they could not take credit for the healing miracle that took place. The fact is that on occasion, Hashem does something spectacular that captures worldwide attention. Other times, he might do something so small that hardly anyone notices. When someone does a mitzvah by lending a helping hand, it may just be the prompting of the Holy Spirit. As children of God, we can be His hands and feet. In that way, God's helping hand is evident every day. If we ask for help, or if we ask for the opportunity to help, or if we will only open our eyes, we will see God's helping hand. Aharon and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, so that his hands stayed steady until sunset. Just as Moshe needed a helping hand in the wilderness of Sinai, so we need a helping hand in the wilderness surrounding us. Joshua was successful in conquering the Amalekites with the help from Moshe, Aharon, Hur, and most of all, Hashem. We can lend a helping hand, and we can ask for a helping hand. Hashem will provide for us through the help from others and through His abundance. So, do a mitzvah. Heavenly Father, help us to humble ourselves enough to ask for help when we need it, and help us to be your instruments to help someone else in need. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. And if the elders, thank you. If the elders would come forward now and...
Well, actually, before the elders come forward, first of all, I would like to say I so much enjoyed this message, as I do all of the messages that you give, and I want to thank you for it.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you.
Steve Caldwell, I think you have something to say.
Thank you. Hey, Art. You know, when Art was given this teaching today, the Lord really, really spoke to me. I'm sorry. Oh, you're too close. The Lord really spoke to me. This is so much like intercession. This is so much like coming together working as a team on behalf of God or some other situation. Maybe you're praying for your congregation. Maybe you're praying for somebody that's sick in your family. Maybe you're praying for the upcoming elections or Israel in general. There are a lot of different topics that we need to pray about and intercede. And if we all come together as one, you know, God's word says, where two or more are gathered, he's there. Isn't it wonderful? When we all gather, we all intercede with one in one accord, one goal, one objective. So I want to encourage everyone to intercede. I think that that's really very much what your message was all about.
Yeah, sure.
And I just, yeah, sure. Anyway, so that kind of as a note, just to say, you know, we have intercessory prayer here at OHEV. I don't know when it's going to happen next. But we do have it. Stay tuned. Read your bulletin. Participate if you can. The meetings are held either at OHEV 1 to 3 or at our house 1 to 3, and they generally flip-flop. So stay tuned, but I do encourage people to get together. Maybe in your havaraz, you guys set a little time aside for some intercessory time, some prayer time. Just a thought.